Amen. So we're going to look at some of these prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus. Now, before I start, I want us to understand what we mean by the word prophecy. Because a lot of people will say that it can only be a prophecy if it is predicting something for the future. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Amen.
Just because we use this word prophecy, forget this whole idea of prediction. Because the word prophecy literally means just to speak forth by divine inspiration. And that's what a prophecy... Now, when we look at some of these scriptures that talk about the birth of Jesus, some of them will contain something predictive. But that doesn't make them a prophecy. It's a prophecy because it's spoken by God. Through an individual, through an instrument. God doesn't always use men. In the scriptures, God spoke through animals. But if he spoke through the angelic beings. But if it's a word from God, then we can class it as prophetic. Now, in the Old Testament, people that spoke about the coming of Jesus include this. The prophets. People like Isaiah, Samuel, Jeremiah, Micah, and there's a few others. We read of the patriarchs. People like Jacob and Moses, they spoke of the coming of Jesus. Kings like David spoke about the coming of Jesus. And to begin our studies this morning, or to begin this teaching this morning, we're going to look at the very first prophetic word ever spoken about the coming of Jesus. Now it's right when you're looking at this that we go to what we call the first. We call this the law of first mention in the scriptures. Because when we look at the very first, it shows us the way that it's going to be through the scriptures. So we're going to turn in your Bibles, if you've got Bibles with you. The brothers have got it on the screen. We're going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. And we see here a scripture. Now this prophetic word was not spoken by any man. Was not spoken by a prophet. It was not spoken by a priest. This was spoken by God himself. And as we look at this prophetic utterance, we see that this sets in process the whole order of things. It shows us how Jesus came. How Jesus was to be born. How God got Jesus into the earth. And he did it, as we will see, through the spoken word. As he spoke. There's a very key verse. You don't have to turn to it, you will know it. You'll be very familiar with it, I'm sure. But we see this, the whole demonstration laid out. The gospel writer John puts it like this. In John 1 verse 14, he tells us how it happened. He says, "And the word became flesh." Now keep that scripture, that thought in your minds. Because this will give you understanding on the whole issue of how Jesus was born. So let's go to this first scripture. Here in Genesis 3 verse 15, we read these words. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now these words were spoken by God to the serpent, who we might refer to as, we later know that he's talking here to the devil. The one that came to tempt. And I don't know whether you realize it or appreciate this, but you know the devil was the first one to hear those words that the deliverer, the Messiah, was coming. He was the first to learn that this one would come and destroy his works. It was to him that the initial promise and the prophecy concerning the redemption, concerning the coming of Jesus, that he would come, he would destroy what Satan had now just himself destroyed. You know, he had introduced sin into God's perfect creation. He did it through deceit. He did it through temptation. And you'll notice, I don't want to dwell too much on this morning, but you'll notice that right from the very first day, or the very first thing, Satan came, and he came to twist the word of God, to deceive mankind. And he does the same. He hasn't changed today. All these thousands of years later, he still uses the same old trick. He will come and try and twist what God has said, causing people to doubt what God has said, getting them to believe the lie rather than the truth of what God says. And it's from this point on in history, in the creation, that God begins to speak forth his word in order to bring Jesus into the earth. Because what does he say here? He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You know, this prophecy shows us two things. First of all, it shows us that Jesus is coming. And then it shows us that Jesus is going to die for the sins of the world. Redemption. You know, the whole gospel is wrapped up in this one verse. This verse, the very first thing God ever proclaimed about Jesus. So what we are going to look at this morning is to begin with this prophecy here. Genesis 3:15, talking about the woman and her seed. Because the scripture says in Galatians, you know, because God began to speak through the prophets, he began to speak through the priests, the kings, those patriarchs of old, through their mouths, that Jesus would come. And this was only until the time, Galatians tells us, in Galatians 3:19, that the seed should come. The seed should come. Now, I want you to look carefully at these words here in this scripture. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Your seed and her seed. Let me repeat that, just so you make sure you've got it. Your seed and her seed. So this is the prophecy, the woman and her seed. Let me just give you some scriptures here that show the fulfillment of this prophecy before I begin to do a little bit of teaching on it. In Matthew 1 verse 18, you'll know these scriptures if you know the nativity accounts. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. The prophecy was this. Between your seed and her seed. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then, I've just quoted Galatians, but let me just read it to you from the scriptures. In Galatians 3:19 it says this. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come. Until the seed should come. Just hooking on this terminology from the scriptures. The seed. The seed. In Galatians, in the next chapter, in chapter 4, verse 4, I love this scripture. It says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So here we see right in the very first days of the early days of creation, God proclaiming that the woman will give birth to a child, a son. He says, your seed, he's talking to the serpent. He says, there will be enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. She would give birth. And we've seen from these three scriptures, one, that she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, according to Matthew. Galatians 4:4 tells us that he was born of a woman. And in the previous chapter in Galatians, we have reference there, till the seed should come. You know, this was an unusual terminology. God used this same terminology when he spoke to Abraham. He said to Abraham in Genesis 12:7, says, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said to him, unto thy seed I will give this land. Now, we don't have to go very far for the translation. If you want translation of Scripture, if you want to know what God is saying, just ask the Holy Spirit. You know, he will give you the interpretation. Because he interprets it himself in Galatians. We've just looked at the verse 19 of chapter 3, but in verse 16 we read these words, that the Holy Spirit tells us that the seed is Christ. He's talking to Abraham then. Now he wasn't talking about Isaac, he was talking about Jesus, until the seed should come. Let me just read that verse for you. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Galatians 3:16. To your seed, who is Christ. And then he spoke again. God spoke through David, the king. And if you want to write these verses down, this is 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 12 to 14. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Now God spoke that to David through the prophet. Now yes, he was talking about Solomon, who was to come after him, but this is also a prophetic word concerning Jesus, who was to come. Because just listen to the words that God uses there. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Again, the Holy Spirit gives us the translation there. He gives us the interpretation in Romans chapter 1. The opening verses to the book of Romans. And it begins in the book of Romans. He begins, this is the gospel. And he says, verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Notice, God speaks before in the Holy Scriptures. He's proclaiming the coming of Jesus. He's proclaiming the gospel message as we understand it. And he says, he promised before through his prophets in the Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know, there, the Holy Spirit gives us the same words, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, her seed. Let me just read one more verse, fulfillment of that prophecy. This is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. Are you listening? It says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Listen to what he goes on to say here. He connects it to David. He says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Isn't that exactly what the prophet said to David? That this God would raise up a son after him. He would reign in his place. He would raise up a house for him, for his name. His kingdom would not, there'd be no end to his kingdom. But he's talking about Jesus. And this is how God began to proclaim that Jesus was coming. And he spoke through these prophets. He spoke through these priests. He spoke through the kings. He spoke through the patriarchs for thousands of years. Now, one of the greatest prophets that spoke of the coming of Jesus was Isaiah. And if Joe, you can give me Isaiah chapter 7, please. Because I want to look at this other prophetic utterance concerning the coming of Jesus. It's a very well-known one. Verse 14. Look at the words here. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Yes. Now, we've just been looking at that phrase in the scriptures, the seed. Did you notice what it actually said in Genesis? It says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Do you know this term, her seed, appears only once in the whole of the scriptures? And that's in Genesis. Every other reference to seed that we have read, and you will look if you go and do a study on it, you'll see it talks about the seed. Or it talks about the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, the seed of a man. Why? Because this terminology, her seed, is a direct reference to the virgin birth. It has to be, because Jesus was born, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, and there'll be no arguments on this, Jesus was born without the sin nature of Adam. Right. He had to be, otherwise he couldn't die for your sins. This meant that it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to be born of a virgin. Let me explain. Biologically, the seed comes from the man, the father of the child. The genetic sin nature from Adam is passed on through the man, not through the woman. That's why Jesus was born without the nature to sin, or without that sin nature from Adam. Why? Because he had no human father. He had no human father. Now, since the sin nature doesn't come from the woman, and I want you to hear this, none of the female chromosomes in the biological makeup, none of those female chromosomes contain the Adamic sin nature. So that's important here. So I want you to hear this. God did not have to make Mary sinless in order for Jesus to be born. You know that teaching, the teaching of the Immaculate Conception that the Catholics believe and promote. She did not have to be made sinless. Why? Because no sin nature is passed on through her. She didn't need to be preserved from sin. And if you're going to hold on to that doctrine and that teaching, the very fact that you're holding on to that, saying that she was without sin, you are denying the virgin birth. Because the virgin birth was God's supernatural means to get Jesus into the world, to make him sinless, or to keep him sinless, should I say. So how did Mary conceive Jesus? And a lot of discussion has been around this. How did she conceive? Well, let's just see what the scripture says. If you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Because I want to make it quite simple for you to understand this. Mary conceived Jesus exactly the same way that you received Jesus. How did you receive Jesus? You heard a gospel message, or you heard someone proclaim a word. You believed it in your heart. You received it by faith, or received him by faith. That's how you received Jesus. And that's exactly the same way Mary did. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 38. We have here Mary's statement of faith. The angel had just proclaimed to her that she, and we've read it from verse 30. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. She's hearing God speak to her. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. How can this be, she asks. Well, the angel begins to show, says that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, going to overshadow you. And then in verse 38, she makes this statement of faith. She says, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. You know, she heard the word of God. She received it. She believed it by faith. And the seed. You know that Jesus taught a parable about the sower and the seed. You know that. You remember that parable. What did he say the seed was? The seed was the word of God. The seed was sown in her womb. And then as we saw in John's gospel, it says, and the word became flesh. The word became flesh. The word became flesh. You know, God did something miraculous there. Yes, he planted the seed in her heart, or in her womb, in the very center of her being. And that word began to put on flesh. It took form. You know, that's how it happened in creation. God spoke the word. The Holy Spirit took the word and put flesh upon that word. Maybe not flesh as we understand, but he put substance to it. When God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit moved upon that word. A light appeared. When he created the animals and he created man, God spoke. And the Holy Spirit took that word and put flesh upon that word. And it's exactly the same with Jesus. virgin shall conceive. You know, I haven't got time this morning to go through and look at some of the other fulfillments of that particular phrase there from Isaiah. But I will continue this teaching on Sunday night, God willing. Not tonight, next week, God willing, if the Lord allows me. But we're going to go through this. So if you want to hear.
He is allowing you.
He is allowing me, yes. So we're going to go through, take it over the next 2 or 3 weeks, right through the nativity season. We're just going to see how Jesus came into the earth. These prophecies, you know, there's more prophecies than just these two concerning the coming of Jesus. And I just felt before the Lord to begin this morning and show you just how Jesus came into the earth through the spoken word. And we see it time and again through the scriptures. God speaks, God speaks, God speaks. He spoke his word. And there's fulfillment. And we're going to see those fulfillments. So, brothers and sisters, just be encouraged this morning from this little I've shared. And if you want to know more, you'll have to come on a Sunday night.
Amen.
Amen. And Sunday morning too.